from the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast. This is Ag Day.
Celebrating a southern delicacy.
Prices have come down, so it's making it a little more affordable for people who want to buy live crawfish and have family boils and such.
We check out crawfish season in Louisiana. How are Ukrainian farmers surviving? New numbers show a harsh reality about the potential harvest ahead. And what would the Ag Secretary like to see in the next farm bill?
That's important to rural America.
The latest as he testifies before a key congressional committee right now on Ag Day.
Ag Day, presented by Pioneer. What's next happens when the testing grounds meet the proving grounds. Pioneer, what's next happens here.
Good morning, I'm Clinton Griffiths. USDA's budget was the focus for Senate lawmakers this week. Secretary Tom Vilsack testifying before the Senate Ag Appropriations Subcommittee, taking questions from lawmakers on everything from needs in the new farm bill to the avian flu outbreak in dairy cattle. Ag Day's Michelle Rook joins us. And Michelle, Vilsack is pushing for more programs for small and mid-sized farmers.
Yeah, Clinton, Secretary Vilsack says within their $25 billion budget, USDA has already kicked out some new programs for small and medium-sized farmers. But he emphasized there will be enough dollars for all their needs in the ag budget and in the new farm bill with the use of CCC funds. He also had good news about exports in light of the recent cases of HPAI and dairy cattle.
Senator John Hoeven kicked off the hearing discussing the budget challenges due to increased costs for nutrition programs, but put into context the importance of farm programs in the ag budget to maintain a low-cost food supply.
When we talk about the nutrition program, or we talk about any of the other aspects of what has become, you know, the largest part of the farm bill, we have to understand that if we don't maintain that system of family farms and ranches, our food, and it's food, fuel, and fiber now, as you well know, those costs are going to rise.
Secretary Vilsack agreed but highlighted the loss of nearly 555,000 farms and 151 million acres of farmland the last several years as a reason to include farm programs for smaller farmers in the ag budget and new farm bill.
Senator Hoeven mentioned the farm bill. Obviously, we are anxious to work with the Congress to get that farm bill done, but I think it's going to be important for us to focus, in addition to productive agriculture, production agriculture, on agriculture that also benefits and increases income streams for small and mid-sized farmers, because that's important to rural America.
He says USDA has developed programs looking at value-added ag, climate-smart ag, new food processing systems, and renewable energy production to create new revenue streams. Vilsack also provided an update on HPAI and stated APHIS is working with land grants on virus transmission to mammals, vaccines, and treatment. The good news is there's been no negative trade implications.
We've seen very little restriction, if you will, a couple of countries expressing concerns, but for the most part, our trading partners understand that we're on top of this, that we expect and anticipate our dairy cows to recover, that our milk is safe, and that it's very, very low risk to people.
Vilsack added farms have increased biosecurity, especially around the milking parlor, to stop the spread of HPAI. I'm Michelle Brook reporting for Ag Day.
All right, thanks, Michelle. While we continue to watch for any new cases of avian flu in dairy cattle, there are new cases reported in commercial flocks. Michigan officials reporting avian flu was discovered at a commercial poultry facility in Newaygo County. They did not say how many birds were impacted. Now, currently, Michigan has two reported cases of HPAI in dairy cattle, and New Mexico is also reporting its first case of the virus in a commercial hatchery in Roosevelt County. Now, APHIS didn't say what type of hatchery was involved, but that more than 61,000 birds would be impacted. Until this week, New Mexico didn't have any commercial flocks affected during the outbreak. However, H5N1 has been confirmed in six dairy cattle herds in that state. And Secretary Vilsack was also asked about the cancellation of some NAS reports during this week's hearing, something we told you about earlier this month. He said that the budget approved for USDA was delayed by 5 or 6 months and contained cuts for NAS and other areas at USDA. And when the NAS budget was reduced, there's a consequence. As we told you, USDA has announced it will cancel the July cattle inventory report, along with the cotton objective yield survey and all county estimates for crops and livestock this year. American Farm Bureau Federation, the latest to criticize the decision. In a letter to USDA, President Zippy Duval saying the decision to cancel the July cattle report, quote, runs counter to previous commitments to improve fair, competitive, and transparent markets, end quote. Duval adding the decision could stymie land-grant universities from conducting crop and livestock research. He urged NASS to reconsider. Starting next Monday, USDA Undersecretary Alexis Taylor will lead a trade mission to India. She will lead a delegation of 47 businesses and organizations along with officials from 11 state departments of ag. It's being seen as a major effort to build trade relations with India, AgriTalk's Chip Flory. Talking to Taylor ahead of the trip, Taylor says trade missions like this are a very important tool to help support U.S. food and agricultural businesses around the world.
India is, I think, a really important market. We all kind of hear about the demographic trends. They're now the most populous country in the world. They actually have a very young population. And just last year, we had a series of successes on the tariff front where India reduced over 10 food and agricultural related tariffs. And so our exports were being severely impacted, or our ability to export was being severely impacted. So like now is a great opportunity. And I see, yeah. I think you see that with the sheer number of businesses and agricultural associations and states being represented on this trade mission.
USDA says the U.S. has seen an 11% increase in ag-related exports to India over the past 2 years. Meanwhile, another trade partner is about to see tariffs increase. President Biden announcing he wants to triple U.S. tariffs on steel from China. The president making the announcement in an address to steelworkers in Pennsylvania yesterday, saying he wants to better protect American producers from Beijing's industrial overcapacity. The White House insists it is more about shielding American manufacturing from unfair trade practices overseas. Well, right now, the Census Bureau says only about 30% of imported steel over a 12-month period came from China. Grain production in Ukraine has remained unprofitable since the Russian invasion, and that's expected to translate into decreased production this year. Now, that's according to a new USDA grain and feed report from the country's attaché. This one graphic telling the story, it shows what average profits were like before the war in blue and what started to happen in 2022 following the invasion there in red. Since that time, farmers have accrued losses of almost all major bulk commodity crops except for oil seeds for two consecutive years. The report also suggesting that only oil seeds will be profitable for this year. It says while grains remain in negative territory, that has naturally impacted farmers' planting decisions for the season, with winter crops estimated to be down nearly 9%. Farmers also plan to increase spring wheat and barley while decreasing corn. Parts of Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, and Nebraska cleaning up following an outbreak of severe weather. Take a look at this from Trooper Paul Gardner in central Iowa near Pocahontas. Tornadoes, hail, and high winds touching several states Tuesday, impacting homes and farms. Several people captured footage of the tornadoes touching down. Early reports are that at least two people were injured. While that storm system moves off, rain is on the way for the Central Plains. Meteorologist Ben Engelbrecht has more.
Yeah, severe weather potential. Now, in terms of coverage, has gone down or will go down coming up for our Thursday. But there are still the possibility for a few stronger thunderstorms to come through portions of the nation. After that, you got the precipitation forecast the next 7 days. Most of this coming down Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as a ridge high pressure tries to build back in. But again, more rain on the way across the United States, with also some cooler, if not colder, temperatures back up in the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin going into the weekend. This is all part of that kind of a weak clipper system, bringing in not only the moisture, but also some of those cooler temperatures as well. That's going to exit off to the east. Another weak clipper system coming in on Tuesday. We'll look at that coming up regarding the jet stream here in just a little bit. And it was another cloudy day in southern Kentucky, and that had Kyle racing ahead of the rain to get some planting in. We are getting in more pictures of planters starting to roll, though, and that's great to see. I'll have more on your forecast coming up.
Well, our markets are waiting on weather and more news in search of a direction. We'll talk markets coming up next. And later, jump in and enjoy crawfish season with farmers in Louisiana. We're headed south in the country.
Ag Day is brought to you by Germinator Closing Wheels. Germinator Steel Closing Wheels provides a 13 bushel advantage per acre in no-till and a 7 bushel advantage per acre in conventional. Do you have enough room in your bin to switch to the Germinator?
Hey, hold the cheddar biscuits. New reports show that Red Lobster is considering filing for bankruptcy. According to Bloomberg, the seafood restaurant is considering filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, the chain looking to restructure its debt in order to renegotiate burdensome leases, contracts, and deal with rising labor costs. So far, it's just a conversation while attorneys talk through solutions with creditors and investors. Red Lobster was founded in 1968. Soybeans find their footing midweek, but overall it was a mixed day in markets. Michelle Rook has more in Markets Now.
Grains ending mixed on Wednesday. Kevin Dueling with KD Investors joining us. And let's talk about the wheat market first. What was the problem in the wheat market on Wednesday, Kevin? Did we just hit some technical resistance? Because, you know, the dollar was down. You thought maybe we would have been higher in wheat.
All right. I think we broke out of a little technical channel to the downside. It's not a major one, but I think that prompted some more fund selling. They're still defending that big short position. You know, honestly, I thought we'd be higher on the week. The Russian dryness keeps coming in, and they eliminated most of the showers in that forecast and heated the temps up. And, you know, a lot of the main cropping areas there haven't seen a rain since last of January. So, you know, the last part of January is what I'm trying to say. So, I really thought we'd have a higher week this week, so it's pretty disappointing to see it bleed off again. So,
absolutely. What about the soybean market? It was a little bit higher, and so were the products. Was that all corrective buying?
I believe so. You got some. You know, we're really close to those contract lows, at least like in the May soybeans, or you know, we're up 20 cents from contract lows there. So, which we were at the end of February. So, not surprising to see some people moving in ahead of that, or at least covering their shorts a little bit, perhaps, is what brought this on. So corrective, yes, I think so. You know, are we going to test that number? We'll see. Wouldn't surprise me.
And what about the corn market? You know, it feels like on any given day, that market moves pretty sideways. But on Wednesday, did we kind of just get stuck between soybeans going up and wheat going down, or?
It sure felt that way, you know, and you've got a little wedge there in the corn technicals. And you know, I'd like to see today's low hold. It needs to hold, because if it doesn't, I mean, I could make an argument that that market's going to drift lower. I'm looking at the weather in Brazil. It looks like it continues to dry. The forecast continues to get drier. So it's a little bit earlier than normal. So, you know, 7 to 10 days earlier than normal, which that, you know, that crop doesn't have any root moisture. So I think that's significant. But like I say, the technicals might overweigh it short term.
Kevin Dueling with KD Investors. We'll have more Ag Day coming up.
For a free 2-month sample of Kevin's market analysis, or if you have a question of any kind, call 541-980-4554 or email kdinvestors@gmail.com.
Watch Markets Now with Michelle Rook on the Farm Journal YouTube channel, keeping you updated throughout the day on the markets at the open, midday, and close. Find out what moved the markets today and what to expect the market to do next.
Well, as I mentioned a little bit ago, there's that rain coming in on the backside of this low pressure system. There is some energy in the jet stream, which would, being a cold front, could kick up some stronger storms in and across parts of Illinois, Tennessee, even into Kentucky. Now, this is Thursday at 3 p.m. Put this into motion. All of that is going to be moving off to the east. Parts of Illinois and southern Indiana is where some of those isolated thunderstorms will be possible. Again, this is Thursday at 11 p.m. Let's go through the overnight hours. This starts to wash out, but notice the precipitation. Not so much in how much or the coverage, but just the type. Colder air in behind this low pressure system is going to bring an end to significant rainfall in and across parts of the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and a good portion of the Midwest as that cooler, drier air sinks in across the northern part of the nation. Different story as a low pressure system, and I mentioned this earlier, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, light rain or heavier showers are going to kind of drag down towards the Gulf Coast states and the southeast. So a split picture, a dry back up here to the north, and then more of a soaking rainfall forecast. This is Sunday at 11 a.m. for the weekend back into the Gulf Coast states and the southeast. So again, there's Sunday at 11 a.m. As you look at what's going on with the jet stream, so there's that the system moving out. This is responsible for the colder forecast. Good portion of the nation coming up this weekend. That moves out. And as I mentioned, I want to start circling or highlighting next Tuesday and Wednesday, starting to see some signals show up in the jet stream that would indicate another piece of energy coming down. Now, this is going to be relatively shallow compared to the last one. So what that means is it's not going to get as cold on the other side of this low pressure system, and will actually rebound fairly quickly Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday with the ridge of high pressure building in and across the United States. So again, that's going to be a quiet weather pattern before next storm system starts to take shape over here on the West Coast. Now that would time out to be more in the weekend, if not next week, if it does come ashore. Shawnee, Kansas, thunderstorms high around 64 degrees, low about 42. Springvale, North Dakota, mostly cloudy and of course some wind, high about 43. Young, not old, Oregon, high around 70 degrees with sunny skies.
The UAE seeing its heaviest rainfall in its 75-year history. Nearly 4 inches of rain fell on Tuesday, forcing flights to be diverted from the world's second busiest airport in Dubai. And you can see why. Check out the roads. The heavy downpour forcing some drivers to abandon their vehicles and run to safety. Dubai, like the rest of the UAE, does not have the infrastructure to handle that much water. Well, police need your help locating dozens of stolen cattle. We'll have details next. And later, we celebrate a southern favorite, crawfish, and check in on how the harvest season is going in the country. A big shift in feed costs right now, helping to boost livestock margins. That's according to the latest Sterling Beef Profit Tracker. Now it says feed yard margins saw an average profit of $212 at the end of last week. Meanwhile, beef packers saw their margins improve an average of $30 per head, but still at an average loss of $202 per head. That puts the margin spread at $414 in favor of the feeder. Now, cattle sold last week carried a total feed cost of $376 per head, which is down about $2 from the previous week, but roughly $221 less than cattle sold for the same week a year ago. Texas authorities are looking for dozens of stolen cattle. Deputies with the Clay County Sheriff's Office say on the evening of April 5th, JW Cattle Company reported about 40 cows and the ranch's bull were missing. It's believed that thefts happened anywhere from February through early April. The cows were a mix of Black Baldies and Black Angus. The total loss is estimated to be $100,000. While investigators don't have a suspect yet, a neighbor reported they saw a tan pickup truck with a cattle trailer near one of the ranch's gates. They're asking anyone with information to give them a call. Up next, a southern favorite rolls in. Crawfish harvest is happening across Louisiana. We'll see how it's going next in the country. Yesterday was National Crawfish Day, and what better way than to celebrate with a plate full of them. As LSU Ag Center's crawfish specialist tells us, Louisiana's crawfish season has slowly started to pick up.
We're getting into the later part of the season in our pond production crawfish, predominantly in the southwestern part of the state. Production has increased slowly. Producers are a little more encouraged. However, there are still quite a few that aren't catching at all. Prices have come down, so it's making it a little more affordable for people who want to buy live crawfish and have family boils and such. Overall, it's still going to be a very depressed season.
Oh, absolutely. And we've seen it here on the retail side of things. We don't have the numbers we normally do. We work on a lot of volume here, and we're not seeing it at all. And, you know, back home, the basin has really picked up here the last couple of days. The production has been a lot better. The size is still a little on the weak side. But I think with this water, we're starting to get, you know, we'll get a good fresh mold, and hopefully they'll grow some. Prices are coming down to adjust with the catch. But there's still a lot of people out here that has not eaten crawfish right yet. Every week we get new customers come in and say, oh, this is the first ones of the year,
If we have a normal weather pattern, if producers were able to stock their rice fields as they had planned, we have a potential for a good year next year. If we have another drought situation, we could see the same thing happen again.
We've seen record high prices this year, something we've never seen before. It's a year to remember, that's for sure. And hopefully it'll be 20 or 30 years from now that we've have another season like this.
And our thanks to the LSU Ag Center for sharing that story with us. And that's all the time we have this morning. We're sure glad you tuned in. From all of us here at Ag Day, I'm Clinton Curtis. Have a great day.